Behind every parent in jail or prison, there are children who are serving time as well. Social stigma, financial deprivation, household instability, and isolation are the markers of families whose parents are behind bars.
Like, even tell anybody until I got into high school. So throughout my whole, like, middle school, I guess I didn't even know about resources because I didn't ask.
Right.
So I don't even know if there were any to offer, but I never felt comfort enough to say, you know, my dad, or to tell any other adult that my dad was incarcerated, you know.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode, The Hidden Victims. My name is Lizzie Fleming.
And I am Kira Dunn.
And we are coming to you all live from San Francisco on May 14th, 2019.
Most people just look to the defendant when a sentencing takes place, often overlooking the other people affected. Over the duration of this episode, we will highlight the effects that the 2.7 million children of incarcerated parents in the U.S. face every day. We will delve into the hardships, social and cognitive effects, as well as what is being done to support these hidden victims of the social justice system. Today we'll be hearing from Taliana Wilson Crawford, who is a child of an incarcerated parent, also known as a SIP. We will also be hearing from Oscar Calderon, who's the project manager at Project What, and we will also be hearing from Will Fleming, who is a criminal justice lawyer.
So as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, Project What is an organization that helps to support these children of incarcerated parents. And they really just, it's more of a support group, and they all work together to try and create new policies.
And I don't mean to interrupt you there, but I think one thing that bothered me the most about just trying to find this is I felt like I was on a wild goose hunt just trying to find one specific support group for children with incarcerated parents.
Right.
I had to go from website to website, from link to link, just to get on that right page. And I don't think that's fair that there are support groups for any other underlying issues. But I think because of the stigma behind incarceration and children with incarcerated parents, it's a lot harder to find support.
Right.
And I don't think that's okay.
Our first interviewee was Taliana Wilson Crawford, who is 19 years old, and here is her story.
All right. So my name is Taliana Wilson Crawford. I'm 19, and I am Project What alumni. My dad was the parent that I had who was incarcerated. He went in when I was around 9 years old, and pretty sure he got out when I was 17. It definitely was a rocky, you know, experience. He was pretty much going from like a crucial point in my childhood. So definitely when he got out, it made our relationship very hard, or it made stuff very hard. It just wasn't the same. And you could tell that him being incarcerated definitely had a negative, like, effect on his emotions, his feelings, and just his humanness. And it also had an effect on me because of not only since it affected him, you know, it affected me as well as just dealing with not having that parent out, not having that income, and not really even feeling I had anybody, you know, I could go to, anybody I could talk to.
Now we are going to hear a clip from our live interview with Taliana where she emphasizes how because her, along with other SIPs, don't have knowledge of resources or places where they can reach out for help, how they have to really deal with the effects of having an incarcerated parent alone.
It was just something that happened around me. I never really looked at it as something like, oh, you know, oh my gosh, like,
right,
this is actually real deep and this is not normal, until when I started vocalizing it. I talked to a teacher about it in eighth grade, and that's actually how I got connected to Project What. And from there, that's when Project What opened the door for me to not only talk about my experience, but get comfortable, like, talk about it, and also realizing, like I said, that what was going on was not normal. Like, me not having my dad, especially for that long of a time, was not something that is, you know, common against other communities, at least, you know. So, Yeah, definitely. And then even then, after opening up and telling teachers, Project What was literally the only resource that I was ever connected to once I told somebody about it. But it's like when I told people in high school and stuff, it was just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, teachers and counselors, it wasn't like, oh, well, let me connect you to this.
Right.
Or there's a scholarship or something. Like, if you ask me, it's like Project What is literally the only resource, you know, that I knew of.
Yeah. Do you think it would be helpful for other, like, kids to have resources like Project What? Like, has it helped you a lot in kind of dealing?
What does, like, Project What do?
Yeah, like, what does it do for you? Because there's definitely a lot of statistics, like, about there's, I think, 60% of children who have incarcerated parents, like, are incarcerated again, and then, like, they face all these antisocial behaviors. Like, do you guys see that here? Like, how do you guys, like, deal with that? We then asked Taliana to speak more on the question of if she believes that children are truly the hidden victims of the criminal justice system, because once their parents are convicted of a crime, oftentimes people are so focused on what their parent did that they forget that the child is unassociated with that crime and that they actually need the emotional support because their parent has just been incarcerated. So here is her response to that.
Is that though, then you need to know how to respond to it instead of actually asking those questions as far as like, oh, well, what did he do? And, you know, how long was his time? Like, how is that going to help me?
Yeah.
What is that information going to do for you to help me?
Exactly.
Like, I feel like that's how they definitely go with the wrong way about it. If they do try to ask or get more information, it's like, you need to ask, how am I feeling? Or like, how long have I been, you know, if you really want to know how long my dad's been away or whatever the case may be, you need to ask different questions. So I definitely feel like the people who work at the schools, like, acknowledge that they should learn in their training or, you know, in their schooling when they're becoming staff members and teachers and principals, because this is obviously not something that's common, but you know, the statistic, there's 2.7
at least,
and this is probably
way more now,
right?
So we definitely, that like definitely needs to be in the protocol, or like,
yeah,
when they're educated, because it's not going to be something you're not reminded to, like, and you need to know how to be equipped for that, especially if that's your job. You have other kids, or, you know, like, if somebody
used
to come to you and say, my parents just got divorced, you're definitely going to respond way different.
Right, they wouldn't be like, well, why did they get
divorced?
You would ask, how are you doing?
How long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They wouldn't be like, how long ago did they divorce? Like, what happened? What was the cause of it? Like, they would just be like, so how are you? How can I help you? Which is like, where...
Right,
which is where I feel like that social stigma comes in, where it's like people are like going to make these snap judgments again, which is why it's so unfair for the kid, because then they're just like placed under this almost like umbrella term.
Exactly.
And
it's like,
just super,
still, you're basing those judgments purely from my parents,
mm-hmm.
or just because I told you my parents incarcerated.
Now we will meet Oscar Calderon, who will give us more insight into the logistics of Project What.
I'm Oscar. I'm one of the program coordinators at Project What, and I've been here for 2 years now, going on 3. And so for the past 2 years, as Telani was mentioning, I feel like the biggest thing and the most noticeable thing when it comes to working with CIP, or children incarcerated parents, we say CIPs, it could be a lot shorter, is seeing the support system that it is when they come here to Project What. Because oftentimes from having, you know, just like the most casual conversations ever with them, our youth, is that they aren't used to that. They aren't used to having these conversations with an adult without having for the adult to go tell someone else that their parent is incarcerated. They don't get questioned what their parent did or how much time they have been in or out of jail or prison or detention centers. I feel like that was one thing that we always made sure that we don't ask is what they did, because we really don't care.
Right.
And I don't think that's something for us to ask. Like, it's not fair for them.
So what's, like, the background on Project What, and, like, when was it created, and has it grown since?
Yeah. So Project What, I guess, officially started in 2006. how it was created was there is a, I guess you could call it a coalition or a collective. It's just a group that meets every, like, every 2 to 3 months, which is a bunch of different organizations coming in who want to talk about youth or being, or SIP in general. And they're called SFSIP, or San Francisco Children of Incarcerated Parents Partnership. So SFSIP and our umbrella organization, Community Works West, both came into an agreement and found the need that they needed to have a program that specifically focuses on SIP and trying to get SIP voice in it. Because it's kind of like you can't really, you know, talk about a group and not have anyone from that group represent
right.
anything or making decisions. So both of them came together, that's how Project stemmed out. So again, so I started in 2006. And so within that are these things called the Bill of Rights, which is 8 rights that we feel like every child and incarcerated parent should have and should always be honored, but you know that's not always the case. That's basically how Project was started. And so I couldn't do this, and I don't know if you want to do it yet.
Thank you.
But it has a little bit more background on like on who we are and like how it started on the first page and like the need for SIP voice or just youth voice in general.
On these Bill of Rights, these are very interesting. So when the one, number three, I have the right to be considered when decisions are made about my parent. Do you guys feel as if they children are ever considered or no?
I don't think so, especially like that's what I mentioned about my dad being moved around a lot because I think they didn't take into consideration like lives in Oakland, so
your family.
San Quentin is literally like the only prison that's essentially, you know, he could go to. So keep him there, or not keep him there, but like, why are you moving him to Kalinga and what was it, like Solano, like Tracy, like all these far places, and so that was like one of the biggest things, as well as like. The phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that also goes into like just the mass incarceration, like how much money, you know, they make off of prisons, but it's just like still, you, like people have families that they want to talk to, or you know, especially for younger age, the children, they try to make it as smooth as possible, or like the transition as smooth as possible, so it doesn't really seem like the parent is gone. So those like nightly calls and stuff definitely do add up.
Right.
But they don't care. They just keep raising them, it seems like. Like, the prices go up. And then it's like, they become more innovative with, like, letting them do the webcam. Or, you know, but it's still, that's $20.
Now we will meet criminal defense lawyer Will Fleming, who will introduce us to the quote-unquote different players in the criminal justice system and how they take into account children before and after incarcerating a parent.
You know, I would start by saying that there are different players in the criminal justice system. There are prosecutors, of course, the ones who present crimes or potential crimes to a grand jury who return an indictment. And prosecutors really are not interested in family circumstances, including children. They're really interested in whether a crime has been committed. And in fairness, that's their job. They have a client, the U.S. government, or in the state system, state governments, and they look to enforce the laws. So they determine whether a they investigate whether a crime has been committed, and they present evidence to a grand jury. And if the grand jury thinks there's probable cause to believe a crime has been committed, they'll return an indictment, and then you'll have a trial.
Right.
So prosecutors don't really care. Then there's judges. That's the other player in the system. And judges do consider family circumstances, but usually not at the trial stage, only at the sentencing stage. So the trial is really concerned with whether a crime has been committed. And then once a jury has returned a guilty verdict, then sentencing factors, you know, the family circumstances clearly do matter. And then there's the probation department, at least in the federal system, and I'm sure the state systems have something similar, where they will investigate a convicted defendant's background, and family and all aspects of their lives. And they're trying to make a recommendation for what is an appropriate sentence. And there are a lot of other factors that go into play, but clearly if someone is a single parent of children or is married and has a very unstable situation and the children are jeopardized, that is a factor that will be considered by a judge and by the probation department in setting a sentence range, I guess.
We asked Will if he had any cases that involved children and the traumatic effects caused by their parents' incarceration.
I have had a case. I had a case with a guy with three young children, and the raid occurred at six, and one of the kids, really almost kind of never got over it. I mean, obviously he got older and, you know, became mature, but while he was a child, he suffered from, you know, nightmares and fallout from feelings of insecurity about people coming into the home. It was really unfortunate.
Lastly, we asked Fleming if he believed the court considers/values the effects on children.
So would you agree with the fact that children are the hidden victims of the criminal justice system, or do you think that they're also considered and acknowledged?
Well, look, I think they're considered. I don't think we're a barbaric society that just doesn't care.
Right.
But the tension I described before, it really depends what your interests are. If your interests are the welfare of the child, you're clearly going to feel as though children are victims of the system. If your interests are purely enforcement of the laws, you're going to feel like that the parents are the ones who victimize the children, not the system. So I think you have that dichotomy of viewpoint. And it's a very tricky and troublesome issue. I don't think it's addressed, to the satisfaction that it should be. But I cannot say that it's just ignored, because it's not. I do think that the emphasis is in this country, unfortunately, on the law enforcement side and less on the kind of social welfare side. And it probably needs to be more balanced. But
thank you for listening as we explored the effects that children with incarcerated parents face from the viewpoints of Taliana Wilson Crawford, Oscar Calderon, and Will Fleming.
Thanks for tuning in for today's episode of Hidden Victims. We'll see you next week.
For this podcast, we got all statistics mentioned from the National Institute of Justice, Hidden Consequences, The Impact of Incarceration on Dependent Children. Our opening quote as well was from the Organization of Project What's homepage.